they say can be done.
Welcome to Million Mile Podcast, recorded live at Pickle Park Studios. And here is your host, David Deese.
Welcome to the Million Mile Show. I'm Dave, your host. Thanks for tuning in this week. By popular demand, we'll be dropping shows every Wednesday morning till the end of our season. I have a special shout out to Thomas Wells at Spirit Aero Systems in Wichita, Kansas. They build the MAX 737 1144 section. We appreciate you, Tom, and all the fine folks you play the show for while you're working. You're our listeners of the month. Now, to our trusty Heather to tell us what's on this week's show.
Hello, Dave. It's great to see everyone survive the eclipse. On this week's show, the guys are sharing their thoughts about in-cab cameras. Smile, you're on Candid Camera Driver. Honk honk, the mail truck is coming in from the heart of Cheeseland, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, with a question from Kevin Thomas. We're waiting on the edge of our seats for Tony's joke this week. Brent is all about brakes on his knucklebuster tip of the day. And last but not least, did I hear this right? Jason is putting shrimp cocktail in a keg. What? And now, the greatest trucking show on the internet.
Hello, welcome to the Million Mile Show. This is Dave. I have Brent across from me here. How you doing, Brent?
Back again, brother.
Oh, good. We got Jason and Tony on the line. Let's hear you guys sound in.
What's up, guys?
Hey, guys.
All right, you guys sounding good today. We had a little break here, took a week off, and we're back in the saddle again, ready to get this show on the road, I'm telling you. We got a lot of built-up energy here, a lot of ideas. We're just talking and going over things about the show, and we're pretty excited about it. But we're going to hit a subject this week. I think we mentioned it in a couple shows before we've actually brought it up, because it is a controversial subject, something that's been forced down the trucker's throat, actually, if you want to think about it, by insurance companies, etc. But we're going to talk about that in-cab camera. We're going to go into kind of detail about it back and forth of what we think about it, because you know, we got the outward-facing cameras, which I believe when the industry started, that's what they wanted because that was to protect their investment, right. So forth, so on. And then next thing you know, they wanted to face the driver with the camera, and they had their reasons for that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know who wants to start this off and give me your peace of mind on this in-cab camera. Who wants to ring on in it first? All right,
well,
so
everybody jumped at once.
Jumped right in there.
Well, everybody
at once. I'll tell you what, I kind of like the camera facing out, you know, in front of the truck. It seems to me like I find more times that it will save you than not. Now, that's just my personal opinion. But, you know, you're out here driving and somebody cuts in front of you. I mean, I know of instances of other drivers that, you know, people have called in and they say, hey, you know, your driver cut me off. And when they look at the camera, it's like, no, that's not how that happened, you know. And I mean, of course, now people that are listening, when they do these in-cab cameras, they can also sometimes go back and look with the electronics they have on the trucks. They can see if you're on the gas, on the brake, you know, they can go back and tell what is happening with the truck. So I like them. I like the outward facing cameras. Let's start there.
I can only see advantages in outward facing cameras, really, seriously. That's a security feature and something that,
right.
You know, because I'm telling you, some of them four wheelers are pretty stupid, and some of the things that they do are dangerous. And just for instance, I was talking to Jason yesterday on the phone, and I said on my trip, I had to head out to Tennessee to pick up something. I was a car hauler for the last few days. Actually, not a parking lot, but I was more like a parking space, you know, but a parking spot there. So anyway, but I'm coming emerging onto the interstate, and my daughter's with me. My grandson's in the back seat back, and I see this Explorer run in front of this Peterbilt, and he slams on his brake, and we're on the entrance ramp. He literally goes around the front of him, gets in front of him, and hits his brake and brake checks him.
Yeah.
He does it like three or four times, and I'm just, wow, man, that's the perfect way you know, because some of them you have to activate by hitting a button or something to record that. But I think they are to use those cameras a little bit more to make something like that, like a federal offense. I mean, that's dangerous.
Right. Well, they call that the swooping. What do they call it? The swoop and stop or something. I think they have an actual name for it that people actually do that, try to get hit by a truck and get money, you know.
Yeah, and that car jumped right in front and just, his Explorer, he hit it two or three times, and the guy's trying to accelerate to get off the ramp to merge into traffic, but who can do that when you got this? I mean, he's just being an ass.
I've got a dash cam story, I guess 3, 4, maybe 6, 7 years ago. I had one of the $49.99 ones, the cheap ones. I stuck it in the windshield. Now, first off, I don't want a camera facing me. If they ever put a camera in here facing me, y'all gonna see that shit on YouTube. But
I don't want to see a camera facing you. I don't want to see what you do.
95,000.
Nobody wants to see that.
Well, there's some people that do.
That might be a pay-per-view kind of thing. I don't.
Yeah, put that on your OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, that's it. That's the new thing. Well, it ain't pay-per-view anymore. It's OnlyFans.
What is that called? Thank you, Jason. Anyway, 95 southbound Florida, just north of Jacksonville, about 3 in the morning. I'm rolling along, and way down in front of me, I mean, it's dark. It's very dark. Way down in front of me, probably a quarter mile, I see headlights come across the interstate.
Oh.
Across the interstate. And I'm thinking, there's no crossroad up there. What's going on? I get up there, and some lady had ran off the road, had crossed the median, crossed my lane of traffic, ran off into the woods. And I pull over, and she was okay. You know, they were shook up, but they were okay. And asked if they wanted me to call 911, and no, please don't. And I figured I'd better, so I did. And I took off, called 911, gave me the location, mile marker, and all. I took off. I get just south of Jacksonville, my phone rings again. And it's 911 calling me back. Want to know why? I left the scene of an accident. She told the cops that I ran her off the road.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. That's it. Yep.
I pulled right over, and cops came up, inspected my truck, and he says, I can't believe she did that. And I said, would you like to see the dash cam?
Yeah.
And
he
said, can I download that? I go, as long as you don't erase it, I don't know how to do it. But, yeah, go ahead. And he did and took off. That's all I know.
Yeah,
I hope
my goodness.
Deal for that shit.
Saved a day. Saved a day.
Well, that's what. Yeah, that's. Now, what do you think, Jason?
Well, I think the dash cams are outward facing. They tell the truth. I mean, they tell what happened. And if you're at fault, hell, you're at fault.
Right.
But 9 times out of 10, they're going to save your ass. I was driving around in Colorado up there in the toll road, and some people called in about how I cut them off. They were merging into the interstate. There was nowhere for me to go. We don't have it's not my job to slow down because you're merging. You wait on me and then fall in behind me. They called in, they checked my camera, and I guess decided everything was good because it obviously was. But, it's just kind of crazy to think that somebody would want to look at me, though. Now that one doesn't sit well with me.
Well, the only
at all.
The only downside that I see to the outward facing cameras, just a point I want to hit on real quick, is they can go back and look at it, and if you're tired or you're doing something and you run off of the road a little bit a few times, if you would let's say you'd happen to have an accident. And they go back and look at it, and they say, well, this guy, in the last 30 minutes, he's crossed over the white line 7 or 8 times, you know, and the lawyers are going to use that.
Oh, just a little loophole for them to jump
right
into.
And I that part I understand, but I want to segue that into the driver, the cameras facing the driver, because my biggest issue with the cameras facing the driver is, look, we live in a society, everybody's got cell phones, they're recording everything. If you don't think you're being recorded 90% of the time, you're crazy. Because, I mean, there's cameras everywhere. You go down the interstate, there's cameras on these lights, there's cameras on the side of the interstate, there's cameras on cars, cameras on trucks, people, you know. But my problem is, we live in a society that doesn't, there is no such thing as an accident anymore. It's got to be somebody's fault. And the lawyers and these people that are, you know, want to get paid, they will take any opportunity. And, you know, if I'm driving down the road and I'm a 3 million mile safe driver and I'm driving down the road, I reach over to pick up my phone and look down for a second. And they find that back, you know, they go back through my camera facing me and they find that, they're going to use that against me.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, oh, yeah. I understand maybe you shouldn't do that, but we all have human error, all of us.
Well, the company, Brent, that I lease to is, they have a policy that you cannot take or post any pictures from your driver's seat.
Right.
And the reason is because this has happened that they've gone back. You know, the lawyers will get a hold of your Facebook.
Right.
You're involved in an accident.
Right.
Whether you were distracted at the time or not, they go back and they show all the pictures of all the mountain scenes and the crazy shit that you took driving down the road. You are a habitual distracted driver.
Right.
Now,
right.
You may be innocent as you can be at the time for the, you know, whatever the infraction is, but you have a history of being distracted.
Right. Whether it be you spilled your coffee or whatever. You're right.
That's right. And how it's hard to sell the fact to the jury that because you do it all the time, how can you prove that you weren't doing it then?
Yeah, yeah. Just, I mean, you just like anything, too much information is too much. You know what I mean? It's just, you can always find a problem if you look hard enough.
Right.
So, too much information, you know, and that's what I think about the inward facing cameras. It's just too much.
Yeah, I'm the same way. To me, it's not the fact that they're facing me for my privacy. I've given up on privacy. I mean, I've got an iPhone, so I mean, I'm pretty sure they're recording me most of the time. I've kind of given up on that point. It's the fact that what are they going to use against me that's going to get me into a place that it is, you know, and I looked at a cell phone, but I mean, take the cell phone because that's a hot button. Take that off of it and say, I've been over to pick up something I dropped on the floor, or I been over to grab my coffee cup that was rolling around on the ground, or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you took a drink of your coffee.
That's right.
Taking a drink of your coffee is distracted driving. Eating a hamburger while you're driving down the road is distractive.
Yeah, you're turning up your AC.
Smoking.
That's distracted. Yeah.
Smoking. I was trying to remember there was a statistic somewhere, and it was like 0.9% of the time it can cause an accident, which is not very much, but still, I mean, when we're going that deep in it, you know, I mean, you can pick out anything.
Yeah, and all they got to do is just show the intent, and then to show that they can show your past. They get access to full footage of what you've done day in and day out. They will find something that's reoccurring,
right,
and they will use that against you. And that's my whole bad thing about that. And now too, I guess at the end, the last, I guess when I was running the mail last time, they actually had added AI to the system. And it would notice if your head was leaning a certain way and set off an alarm.
What?
Yeah, it would go deet, 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 you know, and give you that warning. If your head started to look like you're kind of getting a nodding or something, or if your hand would come up around your face, like if you would go to adjust your glasses, it would start beeping at you.
Right.
And automatically, as soon as that beeps, it sends okay for them to review what you just happened.
Right. Right. And so all they got to do is get the door open.
Yeah. Yeah. And that gives them the okay to review what just happened. And then they would say if it was distracted driving or not. And you would get a warning in your paycheck saying, hey, you were reaching across your dash.
And I want to bring, and this is years ago, my insurance agent stopped by and we were talking about something. I think I was getting an audit or something, a DOT audit, just a random. And he stopped by and we got to talking about something, and he told me a story, and I can't remember if it was Indiana, Ohio, but a driver was going through and it was close to his hours of service were getting close to up, but he was trying to make it through the city and get somewhere where he could get parked. Well, he went over on his log by 15 minutes by the time it was some traffic or whatever. And I mean, you know, it sometimes it just happens, and we try not to, but sometimes it does happen. You're trying to get through, and you got to find out, well, this rest area is full. Mm-hmm. I got to go on the next one, try because it's not easy to park a big truck.
Right.
So he ended up being 15 minutes over. He stopped, pulled over, and he put it on his log. He did his log that night, and he just wrote down he was 15 minutes over. He got in some and just kind of made a note. 2 o'clock in the morning, carload of teenagers. He was on a get-on ramp, which is legally parked. 2 o'clock in the morning, carload of teenagers come around a corner, run into the back of the trailer, kill 2 of them. That man went to jail. He went to prison because the lawyers showed that he had been there illegally. If he hadn't drove illegally 15 minutes farther, he would not have been there, and the teenagers would not have hit his car, and he lost his CDL, and he went to jail. Now, did he appeal it and get out of it? I mean, it's possible, but this is what I'm talking about. Just little random things that they can get you on, and it'll affect your life for the rest of your life.
Yeah, because they're going to put you under the microscope.
Right.
And that just opens up the gateway, you know, for them to be able to view you. They will sit down and watch that thing for hours and just look for that trend, something that you do naturally, you know, whether it's reaching up, adjusting your glasses, or doing whatever. They'll find a reason.
I mean, I don't mind paying for a mistake that I've made, okay? I get we all make mistakes, but some of this stuff, can we use a little common sense, please, people?
Yeah.
Well, me and Tony got a buddy. And he works for a company, and they've got a policy where you can't talk on the phone. Even on a headset, you cannot be on the phone. And he was telling us, he was parked one night, and he was talking to us, and he was telling us, he said he got in trouble. He was listening to an audio book, and the camera picked up what was being said off the audio book, and because they've got a mic on those cameras. And
they also thought he had somebody in the truck.
They thought he had somebody in the truck.
Man. Yeah.
And all he was doing was listening to an audio book as he drove down the road. So some of this technology is not as great as they make it out to be. And I know me and Tony were talking to my son the other night. We were all doing our thing, and 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I was having to pull one of them late shifts. I ain't used to that. And
solar powered.
David and Tony were talking pretty good. Next thing I know, I was snoring. I was done for the day.
He was, too. He was. What is this noise? Somebody's got a brake chamber leaking.
But we asked David about what he thought about the forward-facing camera, and he said that, you know, the company he was with before where he's at now, they had them, and he said he never, you know, they never called him about it or anything, but he thought it was very invasive on his privacy, and he never really had a bad experience with it, and he was talking to a buddy of his, and he said, man, that's so that they could take, the company could take the blame off of themselves and put it all on you.
That's the way I feel.
And when you think about it, that's right.
Yeah, just a scapegoat. That's what you are. So anyway, yeah.
They have to protect themselves, because if you have somebody that's habitual, I get if you have somebody that has problems, habitual problems with their driving or bad habits, that what's going to happen is they say, well, this guy, they go back through the tapes. Well, this guy's been doing this for 3 years and you didn't stop him.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that their hands are tied some too, that the companies are.
Yeah.
But it's kind of.
And they want them lower insurance rates. They do. That's one of the qualifications.
They do.
You need to have that camera in there.
And I'll tell another story. I had a truck. He was in Kentucky, and he was stopped at a stop sign. It was one of my trucks. And there was a PT Cruiser in front of him. The stoplight changed. He eased off the clutch and kind of checked his mirrors when he eased off the clutch. And he said no more than he done that, he felt something. And he stopped, at a stoplight. And he looked up and he couldn't see that. He's like, where's this PT Cruiser? He said she took off. And then apparently she stopped just as soon as she took off. And he bumped her. When he got out of the truck and walked up there, and she was sitting there in this PT Cruiser. She said, oh, my neck. He turned around and her boyfriend was standing there. And he said, where did you come from? He said, I was standing over on the corner. I saw it all. The police got there. The police, this is a true story. The police got there, and the police even said, man, this is a setup. This is a setup. When he hit that truck, he had a Texas bumper on his on the front of his truck, a chrome Texas bumper. And the only thing it did to that PT Cruiser was the bolts that come through the bumper, it made an indention on the back of that PT Cruiser. That's it. That's all the damage was to the car. The insurance company messed with him, and this went on for a year. They sent her to therapy. They did all kinds of stuff. And they finally come to me one day. They said, we need your approval to settle with them. I said, everybody knows that this is a setup. And they said, I understand that. But if we go to, and this is what you need to understand out there. If we go to court, the jury is going to look at us, at this big, nasty trucking company, big, you know, making all this money and got these trucks on the road. And then they're going to look at the insurance company and be like, well, you need to pay for it because, you know, they're going to give it to this poor little lady standing up, sitting up here with a neck brace on. She was just minding her own business. This big truck ran over her. That's what they're going to see.
Yeah.
And they said, we've done it enough times. And I think they settled out. It was $200,000. I think they ended up paying her out.
Jesus.
And that this is why that we
death machine.
Yep. Yeah. And I understand that's why it happens. But yeah,
Now getting to the habitual stuff on my logs. I have an outward facing camera. I've got lane avoiding. What do you call it when you leave a lane? Beep beep beep. You know, and
right.
We've got a score system. And I'm looking at it now on the log. It's got a 92. If we get below 70, they write us up. And if it continues, they'll terminate you.
Right.
Because they're watching the habitual drivers here.
Yeah.
You know, habitual offenders, I should say.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you know, it's funny. I got that new Bronco, and it's got cameras all around it. And there's a road that I take to get to work, and they painted it. The road's just crooked as hell as far as the paint job. And you cannot drive down that road without it throwing an alarm up at me. It shows me a cup of coffee, says that I need rest because it thinks I'm trying to go to sleep.
Right. Well, I think we can safely say that for us four, that in-cab cameras, we're against. I think I can safely say that. I'm against it. I think if I wanted to think about other truck drivers, I think you should be against it.
Yeah.
And I think they probably are. Yeah, I think that's the consensus on this whole talk.
Yeah.
That I mean, like everything has good points and the pros and cons.
That's right.
But when it all goes down at the end of the day, yeah, that camera facing inward, I see nothing that would come out good for the driver in that situation. So I'm down on the in camera, the facing out one. The one facing outward. I think it has its purposes, and I wouldn't mind ever running that. And I wouldn't even mind having side cameras because they got those too.
I feel like that we all are on the same page. We don't have a problem taking responsibility for our actions, but I think we're all a little nervous about being falsely accused.
Yeah, I ain't worried about standing back there naked, you know, when I'm changing clothes or whatever. I mean, you know, whatever. If you want to put me on YouTube.
I'm a little worried about it.
Y'all better be worried about it.
Yeah, they ain't gonna look at me long naked, I can assure you.
They don't want to see. I know, I'm like me. They don't want to see that. Yeah, they don't want to see that.
All right, so I think we'll go ahead and shut that subject down. We know where we stand at, and that's the drivers talking to you right now, telling you where we're at. So let's bring in that mail truck.
It's UPS.
No, it's FedEx.
Wait.
Here comes a million-mile listener mail.
You've got mail.
All right, so today's mail truck in from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, Kevin Thomas. Hey, Kevin, appreciate you writing in. You were straight to the point. You got right to what you wanted to know. I'm kind of curious. I wish you'd have told me a little bit more. You just say, hey, Dave, you guys are rocking the podcast. Could you please explain slip seating? That's pretty simple quest, and we'll definitely send you a picture of a shirt for that because you deserve it. Not really, but I'm going to send it anyway because we're nice like that. You guys, somebody want to jump on this? I mean, it's pretty simple. I've been in a slip seating situation.
Me too.
Yeah, Tony's done it. He did it forever, right?
Yeah.
For a long
basically
time.
Basically, slip seating to me, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but every time I would get to a terminal to take time off, I had to clean my truck out. Somebody else got in it.
Right.
Right.
And some companies, like the big union companies, when you get to the terminal with your run, you get your truck out. You get out of your truck, clean it out, and when you leave, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours later, you're in a different truck.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the big union companies.
Right. And they do that. You know, the LTL company does that. The city drivers drive during the day, and then in the evening, then the road drivers come in and move the freight at night. So you're always, mm-hmm. almost always have somebody you're slip seating with. And they do that to maximize, to maximize the truck, to get the most payback off of the truck. Cause I mean, they spend a lot of money for the trucks and the insurance, and the more they can keep that truck running, the better off they are as far as their bottom line.
Yeah, and that's where they'd use those, like a lot of the LTL drivers I remember in the past, they would have those little coolers with CB radios built into them, mm-hmm. little carry packs, so they could just hook up their CB and
right.
do all that kind of stuff, too. Right. I mean, it had its own little thing.
Now, he might be talking about the slip seat where your other driver puts too much armor all on there, and you get up in there and you slip out of the seat.
But you know, that, I don't know. It could be. I don't know. So
I know that they had them over in Dallas, and they were running down to Laredo, and they would meet in the middle, and they'd turn around and come back, and then somebody else would get in, and they would go do it, and they'd do that. That truck would make 3 moves every day
yeah.
to the halfway point. I don't know what their halfway point was or where they were meeting, but I know when I was over at Conway Truckload, back years and years and years ago, they had day cabs that were running. They'd run halfway down, and the one would come up out of Laredo, and they'd flip around and bring that yep. freight back into Dallas.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
So, Kevin, I think we've answered your question. Basically, it's not your truck. Get your shit out.
And it's not bad, you know, if you slip seat with somebody that you get along with, but if you get one with somebody you don't get along with, it can be kind of rough sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, plain and simple, I mean, that's usually, I think, as Brent said, it's probably now more towards the LTL
yeah.
Section of driving where, you know, you got people coming in and working their shift and they're at home right. every day and they're doing that. So,
right. Man, wouldn't it be great if you could do that even with the over-the-road stuff where everybody could just run regional?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, and then all the drivers could be home every night.
Just every.
I don't know how you'd ever make that happen. But yeah. It'd be cool if
roadway,
you could.
Roadway used to actually do that.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think Jason would like that. Jason likes to go away all week.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he wouldn't do that. He talks about.
No, hell no. If I was at home, I'd have to feed dogs and pick up dog food. No, hell no. They doing all that.
I remember always saying, I got to get out of here so I get a 10-hour break.
Yeah, I like to sleep every once in a while. So get me in my truck so I know I can get 10 full hours.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the mail truck this week. Again, thank you, Kevin. I'll be sending you a picture of our very limited edition T-shirt that we don't have, but we have a picture of. And hopefully you'll hang that up in your office and let everybody see it if you have an office. If you don't have an office, you know, take a picture of it, just carry it around and show it to your friends. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Next we got. Next we got, hey, one of my most favorite times of the day is the Tony's joke of the day. All right, let's play that fancy intro music.
Has anybody seen that Hillbilly Deluxe? Where you at, Tony? You got your ears on? Negatory contact on that Hillbilly Deluxe. But it's time for the Tony's joke of the day.
All right, Tony. It's your show, bro. Go right at it.
All right. Well, I decided to stick with Little Johnny. Everybody seems to like Little Johnny jokes. But Little Johnny's done growed up. He got married. Little Johnny, you know, they were happy. Him and his wife were happy for about a year. And Little Johnny developed a bad flatulence problem. I mean, it was bad. And he'd lay in bed, and he'd cut one, and he'd roll over on his right side and go back to sleep. And, I mean, these were god-awful. Curl the curtains, burn their eyebrows off. You know, just god-awful. And he'd cut another one, and
roll over to his left, go back to sleep. And 20, 30 minutes later, cut another one, roll over to his right, go back to sleep. And his wife just always telling him, Johnny, you're going to crap your brains out. You're going to crap your guts out. You've got to quit. And he'd just laugh and blow it off and cut another one, roll over, go back to sleep.
Right.
And she told him over and over, Johnny, you're going to shit your guts out. And she told him this for, this one for like a year. Johnny, you're going to shit your guts out. Well, Thanksgiving rolls around, and she gets up early and is downstairs preparing the turkey. And she hears him up there cutting one, and she does. He cuts it, rolls over. 20, 30 minutes later, he's going to do it again. So she sneaks up in the bedroom with the giblets from the turkey, the neck, the gizzard, you know, the heart and all. And she lays it in the bed behind him. And she goes back downstairs. And sure enough, 20, 30 minutes later, she hears him cut one up there. About 3 seconds later, she hears screaming. And she's laughing, just laughing her ass off. And she finally composes herself about the time he comes down the stairs. And he's white as a ghost. And she's like, oh, my, Johnny, are you okay? He says, baby, you were right. I shit my guts out. She said, oh, my God, do you need to go to the hospital? He says, no, I got most of them back in there. I'm going to be all right.
No.
Oh, damn.
Well,
poor Johnny.
Poor Johnny.
Little Johnny.
Hey, tell you what, this guy's a character.
He is. You got to watch out for Johnny. Going to stick something up there.
Oh, damn.
All right. Well, I'll give that 3.5 airbags. Blown airbags.
It wasn't too bad.
It's right there in the middle of the road.
Hey, at least something around here is getting blown.
Damn. I'll give that one 4 blown airbags.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you just upped your score with that. All right. So there's Tony's joke of the day. We appreciate that. That was a really good one, Tony. So we look forward to next week. I heard you're in town all week, right? So next, we're going to slide right into Brent's little segment here, and let's cue that music.
The Million Mile Show presents Brent's Knuckle Buster Big Truck Tip of the Day. Listen up, he ain't gonna tell you twice.
Knuckle Buster Tip of the Day coming right here, right now.
Yeah.
What you got there, Brent?
Well, today I think we're going to talk about brakes a little bit. It's a pretty big subject, but I'm just going to skim the surface a little bit. Thought today we'd talk a little bit about the disc brakes and the difference between the disc brakes and the drum brakes.
Right.
Disc brakes, I'm a big fan of them. They stop a lot faster. They stop 17 to 33%. Faster than the drum brakes do, and they don't have the fade. And when I'm talking about fade, it's when you step on the brake and you're going down a hill, and it as the drum brakes tend to heat up more, and they lose stopping power when they heat up. So you don't have as quite as much of that with disc brakes. That's why all the automotive has went to all disc brakes.
Yeah,
and I like them a lot better. But if you are running drum brakes, I have had a lot of luck running a centrifuge drum. They cost more. They're lighter, which, you know, when I had the hoppers, that was a big deal as far as weight. But one thing I really liked about them is they seem to last longer than your steel drums. And I think the stopping is better with them than the steel drums. I don't think your fades is bad. And I think they just longevity of them. So if you guys are out there working on your brakes, you might look into the centrifuge, and I know they cost a little more, but they will last a little longer. It's something. You guys out there on the road, Tony and Jason, you have much experience with those? Or
Not with the centrifuge, but with the disc. In fact, about 3 years ago, all our new replacement trailers come. We order them all with disc brakes now.
Yeah.
I had disc brakes on the last truck I had, and this one is back to drums, and I can really tell the difference on the disc.
They're
on
nice.
The tractor versus the drums. So absolutely huge fan of the disc, and the maintenance is so much easier on them. It's just disc are a win all the way around.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I don't see the slack adjuster issues, and some of you that are not out there on the road, the slack adjusters, they move the drums in and out. And if it gets too, if it, they're supposed to automatically adjust. And some of them I've had trouble with, inside components of that will go bad, and they'll actually, they won't adjust, or I've even had them back off sometimes. But you just don't see the brake adjustment issues on the disc brakes that we used to see on the drum brakes. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, and the cooling and everything else, how cool they stay. And matter of fact, I just replaced on my 3500 out there. I had all discs put on, and I actually put the drill ones to actually make it even cooler.
You know?
So, and I tell you, I love it. So, yeah, that's definitely the pick is a disc.
Yeah.
So. I've never experienced disc brakes on a truck other than steer axle on the CFI truck.
Right.
Yeah, they're,
I remember when we all had to carry a wrench with us to adjust our brakes.
Rest them up, yeah.
Right, and you had to carry different ones because if it was a Meritor, you had to have a 5/16, and if it was a Gunite or Halidex, that was a 7/16, and some of the older ones were 9/16, you know, and it's and you know, that's another thing, when you get pulled into the weigh station and stop, and they want to check your brake travel, a lot of guys don't know that when they tell you to step on the brakes, don't mash down on those brakes. Just put just enough pressure on them to activate them, because some of those, it can give you an extra quarter of an inch, and they'll put you out of service because your travel's too long. And
that's a good tip to know.
Well,
out there.
If they pull your ass around, you should be smart enough to know to go ahead and push that pedal all the way down, pull up and back up a couple times, just make sure you're straight and
make
on
sure
that line.
Make sure all adjusted,
Make sure those brakes are all adjusted up.
Right.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I ain't no rocket scientist. I just drive a truck, but I ain't dumb either.
And Tony, I don't know if you've been doing it a long time. I seem to notice if you've got a truck that's got an air pressure gauge in for an application pressure, how much application pressure you're putting on your brakes. If you step on it, I've noticed, if you'll watch that, notice your pedal going a little farther, or you notice you're having to put more air pressure down to do the same stopping. 90% of the time you go out there and crawl underneath that truck and look, your brakes are out of adjustment.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And that's a good tip for them guys that are just starting out. You know, if you notice something different in your pedal or how much pressure is taken to stop, you need to probably take a look at those.
Well, that's good. That's some good tips, Brent. And actually,
well, I tell you what, they're worth what they cost. They were free.
There you go.
Oh yeah,
they're definitely worth that.
Definitely that.
All right, so
damn, we'll drink to that.
Yeah, let's have a drink to that.
Hey.
Yeah, let's talk about something to drink. What are we going to drink? Jason, is it that time? I think it is.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's
let's
roll the promo.
It is.
The Million Mile Show features I'll Tap That with Jason, the 34-Hour Reset King.
I'm not tapping that. Must be one of you guys going to do it. I'm out.
All right, Jason, it looks like you're going to wind this thing up with, I don't know, I see my notes here, and it says something about shrimp cocktail in a keg. You know, can you break that down for me?
Well, I think that
sounds chunky.
Okay, we're going to clarify. We are not putting shrimp in a keg. This segment is about all things in my bar, and no, we do not put shrimp in a keg.
Okay,
but
that's good to know.
Before we start tapping those kegs later in the afternoon, we might want to have a little brunch. And man, one of the things I love to do around the house is cook breakfast. And after, when I'm cooking that breakfast, a lot of times I'll fry me up a couple nice pieces of bacon to go with a cocktail later. And a love of Bloody Mary.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
we're gonna change up your traditional Bloody Mary today, and I will give you the recipe. It's pretty simple. We are going to use we're gonna take our glass. I use a mason jar because I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna dust that glass with a little Old Bay seasoning. Take it, just put a little Old Bay in it, dust it around. We're gonna take some frozen shrimp. Now, don't get the ones with the legs still on them. Come on, guys. I mean, get the peeled and deveined shrimp. If they've got the tails, that's fine. The smaller the shrimp, the quicker you get to eat them. The bigger the shrimp,
It takes longer for them to thaw out. Frozen shrimp, no ice. Just frozen shrimp are going to go into our glass. We are going to top that with our preferred vodka. I like the Tito's or the Absolute or the Sky, but you can use what you want. Today we'll say we use Tito's. Throw us some Tito's in there, and then we are going to put some Zing Zang in there. We're going to use Zing Zang. We are not going to add anything to it. You do not want to use hot or spicy. This is, we're not trying to scald our mouths open. We are trying to taste the, have it make it taste like a shrimp cocktail. We are going to take a little bit of olive juice, and if you get the olives with the stuffed garlic, about three of those olives and a little of the juice will be great in there. Other than that, we're not adding anything to the Tito's. At this point, you're going to take and get you a little bitty pinch of prepared horseradish. We're going to put in, and we're going to mix it up real good now. That horseradish goes a long ways. A little bit goes a long ways. About a pea size to start with, and then and you can add more to taste.
Yeah,
it should taste like a shrimp cocktail at this point. To top it off, we're just going to dust around again on the top of it with a little Old Bay seasoning. Stick your celery and your stick of fresh, crisp, thick-cut bacon off in there. And, guys, what a beautiful time to enjoy around 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. You've got you a beautiful shrimp cocktail, and you're waiting on everything else for that Saturday afternoon to just roll around.
Oh, man.
And
God.
You're speaking my love language now.
I'm ready to wrap this up.
I'm a Zing Zang man, but on me, I'm going to hold the olives, and I'm probably going to put a dill pickle spear in there.
I think I'd keep the olives and add a dill pickle. I'd love the pickles in there,
Yeah, I'd definitely
do it.
You can also get away with this one. You could throw a lemon wedge in it. Also works well with the shrimp. But enjoy the shrimp, and you get done, you got an empty glass. I mean, it's not even any ice left.
Now, I know that you say the lemon. I've never tried that in a Bloody Mary. But, you know, you do a Corona. If you switch that lime with the lemon, it changes the whole taste of that beer.
I've never done that.
Mm-hmm. It makes it completely different.
But it's got a grenadine in that Corona.
Oh, gee, I tell you what, it is Friday.
I'm getting thirsty.
It is Friday. Are you heading home, Jason? Because you said something about the eclipse. You're having a big party that you just invited all our listeners to, didn't you?
We're gonna cook some burgers and
we're gonna get you some guests.
Some eclipse drinks and all of that kind of thing, absolutely, for the eclipse. But
by the time this airs, the eclipse will be over. Yeah. But I thought I'd just throw that in there because he invited everybody down to his special eclipse party.
Or if you go down the rabbit hole, this may not even air because it may be the end times for the eclipse.
Zombie apocalypse.
Eclipse apocalypse. So there. You just never know.
That's right.
Boats and bridges and eclipses. I don't even know if we stand a chance.
That's right.
The conspiracy theories are so strong. I mean, they're really rampant. So, and we're actually, you know, we should talk about that one day.
Oh, my goodness. This, but I don't know if I can go down the rabbit hole. I don't know where it's going to lead to. I don't know. It could get bad.
All right. Hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in this week. This has been the Million Mile Show special eclipse edition.
So
anyway, hey,
we'll be back next week.
You know, there's no guarantee, but, you know, we might just make it.
Well, the listeners may not get that Bloody Mary, but I'm going to get mine today.
Yeah, we're going to work on them drinks this weekend for sure. So, hey, you guys keep it in between the ditches. I appreciate every listener that tunes in. And let's get out of here, guys.
Thanks for listening. Y'all keep the sunny shine. Sunny? Good Lord. Every time you talk about liquor, it screws me up.
He's already slurring over here.
Keep the sunny side up.
I'm wondering what's in that shiny water side. Bottle. I'm wondering what's in that water bottle.
Keep the dirty side down.
Everybody remember, doesn't matter where you go, there you are.
That's right.
y'all be safe out there. And remember, don't drink and drive.
That's right.
Y'all be careful.
That's right. Good deal. Boop, boop.
Are we gonna do what they say can be done?
Thanks for tuning in. This was recorded live at Pickle Park Studios in Columbia, Missouri. The Million Miles Show would love to hear from you. If you're interested in being on the podcast or have questions for the show, please email us at millionmileshow@gmail.com. That's millionmileshow@gmail.com. This episode was produced by David Deese, 2024. Leave sooner, drive slower, live longer. A big thank you to our sponsor, Old American Brand, the world's best Madagascar pure vanilla extract, available in three varieties. Traditional extract, which is made with 100 proof vodka, bourbon vanilla, made with 100 proof Kentucky bourbon, and rum vanilla, made with 100 proof white rum. It is the only extract that is unfiltered with a bean in the bottle. Visit them at fdciders.com. That's fdciders.com.